The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Yeah. All right, NAFTA podcast. We're back. Episode 205. Myself, Michael. Two in a row, Michael. Shout out to you.
I got one more in me after this.
I know, but passed one of your tests. It's golf clap. Golf clap for Michael. Golf clap for Michael. And then Dylan. We were just talking about your trip coming up to Wolverhampton and to England. So you had a little free time today to be able to do the pod as well. I said, like, what news do you have? What does anyone want to talk about? No one really had an answer. We're going to go right into Dudes of the Week. What are you excited about hitting up the Midlands for, other than the game?
I think I have a good balance of being able to do soccer things and not soccer things. Because we're going to do a tour of Craven Cottage the day before, so I'm gonna see what the enemy looks like and see if I can do some sabotage beforehand. And then I'm excited to watch your guys' game in a pub with some London locals, to be completely honest. Followed by a Sunday roast, which I heard are great over there. So I guess outside of being that, I am sophisticated. I'm excited for the art museum. I think there's going to be, some good pictures to ponder at. I haven't done my research, but my mom told me I think there's a Raphael there. So, like, love my Ninja Turtles. Love them as artists, too. It's going to be great.
There you go. That sounds awesome. Haven't done a Sunday roast yet. I definitely want to be able to go back and check that out, and hopefully have you been to London before?
No, I haven't been to England yet,
so I might be totally talking out of my ass, but the pubs that I took my mom to when we were there, they all had really good food. Like, we got fish and chips in a pub, we got the mashed peas. It's all actually very, very good for like a bar food type of setup. So I'll be interested to hear how the cuisine was on your trip as well.
I'll say that's actually a good shout out. I am excited to actually have fish and chips. I want to see what the rave is all about.
Proper. And beans for breakfast. You don't have to do that. But
I'm going to pass on that.
Dylan's not a breakfast guy.
I wonder how their bagels are.
It's the water, dude. Got to be great. We got the three of us. Nick still... was he on last night? Yeah, we had all four last step. So Nick out for this one. We'll be back probably next one. Unfortunate just because of the games that happened. Obviously, the Manchester Derby was interesting. We're recording this in the middle of the Arsenal game. I told Michael and Dylan, I was like, hey, if there's a blowout, we might as well just start recording early. 5 goals in the first half for Arsenal. So that tells you all you need to know. We're going to talk 6. They're at 6
now? Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about the Derby. We're going to talk about the Liverpool late winner and then run through the rest of the week. First things first, though, Dudes of the Week. Dylan, I'll have you lead off because you said you're excited about some of your picks. Let's have you lead off. Michael, I'll let you go second since you just passed your test, and I'm gonna pull up the rear. So lead us off here, man.
Do you want me to ease into it, or do you want me to choose violence right off the bat?
You do whatever you think this episode pertains.
I'll be kind. I'll start off easy, and then we'll see where your picks go, and we'll feed off of that. My first Dude of the Week is going to Brazilian soccer. I do or do not know if you watched the clip between, I'm going to get these teams hopefully right, but Botafogo?
Yeah, Botafogo.
Botafogo and Fluminense.
Fluminense?
A Botafogo player got injured, tried time-wasting, was off the pitch, and his own players literally dragged him back on the pitch to then have the opposing team come and drag him off the pitch. I just love good shithousery. So Brazilian, like, keep doing you.
The one of the best parts of that clip too was at the very end when one of his teammates that's not in the game runs over and like checks him. He's like, oh, are you okay? Okay. And he gets him up a little bit and then shoves him back down into the field. Like, it was like the third wave of it. Totally insane clip. You definitely got to go check that out. Top pick, Dylan. Shout out to Brazilian soccer as a whole on that one.
It's something Sheffield United should try doing right now for the next 30 minutes.
Exactly. Michael, who you got?
I got my friend Jamie Lackner. We finally hit a bet together. First time in like 5 weeks of talking, not every day, but, you know, sending each other the you got anything today? And we would sit there and cook up parlays that were hilariously bad and always lost. And we finally hit one this week. It was like both teams to score and over parlay. I think it paid out like plus 250. It was like very likely to hit in that case. But hey, gotta get the first one.
Yeah, totally get it. Shout out to Jamie. Jamie's dad, just a great cook. Loves his food. That's what I talked to Jamie's dad about.
Jamie, a great cook also.
Jamie, yeah. I forgot about that. But Mr. Lackner, anytime I'm around him, sometimes I'm like, oh, what's going on? I have nothing else to talk about. I'm like, so what have you been grilling lately? Great family, hell of a golfer. All right, my number one, I think it makes total sense for this. Shout out to Phil Foden. A brace in the Manchester Derby. 2 goals. The tying goal and the eventual winner. He plays so well in that game, and he is such an antagonist to the red side of Manchester. There's not really much else to say. He's been our best player, most consistent player with people out this season. So Phil Foden's my first dude of the week. Second dude of the week, doing this for Michael so he doesn't have to do it. Shout out to Paul Tierney. No call on, or the incorrect call on a dead ball foul because Konate hurt his head, gave the ball to Liverpool, and then they eventually went and scored. Just shouldn't have been that way, but that's the state of refereeing. No one knows the actual rules, and no one knows what they're actually doing. So Paul Tierney gifting Liverpool a dub. They're still going to bitch about it. I love it.
I wish I chose violence because I was going to frame that better by saying referees keeping the title race actually close.
Yeah, there you go.
He did that the opposite way earlier in the game too. Yeah. By the way.
Lead to the game winning goal though.
And there was also 2 minutes where they also got the ball after that.
That's your best argument.
They could have cleared it.
That's your best argument.
Yeah, because we famously haven't gotten
Michael, it's like, okay. Fucked by VAR. You needed the refs to actually get a shot on target, so I get it.
We got 2 shots on target. What are you talking about?
Michael, who's your second dude of the week?
I'm not up yet.
my second dude of the week is Newcastle United absolutely thrashing Wolves this week. Congratulations to them. Nothing else to say there.
Love They're healthy it. Now.
Yeah. Love to see it.
We played 3 games in 6 days. Can I use that excuse?
Wow, damn. Welcome to the big leagues.
Who'd have thought this was where this podcast was going to go without Nick here?
I did. I knew I was going to get Michael riled up when we started talking about that.
Oh, man.
You didn't bring it up. You just
I know. I didn't want to derail dudes of the week, so I was like, I'll just wait till the end of making my last dude of the week, and then John went right for it.
To derail the rest of the pod.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Dylan, who you got back-to-back?
I'll still do referees, keeping title races close. If you watch the Real Madrid-Valencia game, blowing like again I'm curious your opinions on this, but blowing a whistle off of a corner where the team is still around the 18-yard box and about to cross it back in, I feel like it's some bush league shit, and like that's even saying it because like I don't care if Real Madrid wins or not, but like they have every right to be pissed at the ref. So you know, Girona, come on, make up those 6 points.
I agree, like, in the state that it was in, it was a tough way to whistle it. Michael, did you get to see this clip?
Yeah, I think they were 2 minutes over
the
minimum time, and then also it was the second phase of the corner.
Yeah.
The reason is I don't understand why he, like, watched the ball, not because usually it's you go back towards the center. If you start to go backwards, you're done, and they went back a tiny bit, but like they had started moving forward again before he whistled. I just don't understand why he waited. If he'd have just whistled it when they were in the middle, it would have been fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's a weird rule though, because normally I kind of like that rule. Like I kind of like that, like, hey, there's one more possession, we're gonna be able to go after it. And it's really rare when something like this happens. Although last season it happened in Madrid in the opposite direction for Real Valladolid at halftime. I saw.
Yeah, it's almost like that. It's almost similar to like Valencia could have just cleared the ball, similar to what Nottingham Forest could have done when they had the ball instead of trying to dribble it out.
Yeah. Michael, you referee apologist. I never thought I'd see the day.
I hate the referees.
I know. Dylan,
they're horrible.
Who's your second guy?
My last one will be Snow. Mostly because the Salt Lake City LAFC game, I don't think Hugo Lloris thought that when he was going to play for LA, he'd be up in the mountains, barely probably able to breathe, and just playing in a blizzard. The highlights of that game were sick, though.
I feel like when these people sign in the MLS, they're not circling Salt Lake on the road as a game to watch out for at all.
Also, Salt Lake has, especially in the snow, their jerseys are pretty sick, in my opinion.
Yeah. I've actually really liked the MLS jerseys this year, the most of them out there. So, shout out to the MLS. Michael?
In the weather theme, my dude of the week is the sun. It is currently 72 degrees in Columbus, Ohio right now. fucking feels awesome. It's going to be 30 on Wednesday, I'm pretty sure, but... You know, we got 2 days of like almost summer. It's great.
There's always early spring and then second winter, and then we get spring again.
There's my friend sent me a thing that was like it's like winter and then it's like
faux spring,
faux fall, and then like two more weeks of winter, and then second fake fall or spring, and then like six more weeks of winter. And then, oh, you think it's spring. It's not. Like, two more days of winter, and then it's actually spring. So I think we're somewhere like second spring right now.
Yeah. I mean, we could have just saw whatchamacallit come out of the hole, too. Punxsutawney Phil. That's science.
He's like, what is he, like 40% correct?
I don't know. Better than weather people. Do you remember simpler times, like back when we were younger, your parents bitching about the weather people?
Who's better at getting a call right, a weather person or a referee?
If it's Paul Tierney, he's unflappable, or whatever. There was a whole Fairly Odd Parents episode about how like the weather person got it wrong and they like went to pitchforks to kill them, basically, because they wanted to fish. It's classic. What a great show.
Damn, Fairly Odd Parents would have never guessed that'd be on this pod. But I do miss the days of like our biggest grievance was... the weather people just not getting it right ever.
Said it wasn't gonna fucking rain. It's raining.
Exactly. I feel like that happened to us a ton because we had season tickets to the Indians back in the day. All right, my last one. Shout out to the United States of America, Captain America specifically. I love when someone can draw a foul. I love Lottie Divac. I love a crafty NBA player. And that's just what Christian Pulisic is in Italian soccer. Drew two red cards against Lazio this weekend and was impressive. Just a pest, a total pest, and having a really, really impressive good year. I feel like if you're an American player, we need to start circling Italy as like a place to go. Germany was it for a long time, and I know we had this conversation with Alexi Lalas, but like I think Italy might be kind of the stomping grounds where they're giving people a chance. Michael might disagree.
I forgot we talked to him. I was like, you said that out loud, and I was like,
he's wait, probably what? I think he's grabbing beers with us before the MetLife games. No,
yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I reached out to him and I was like, hey, we got early access to Copa tickets, need us to pick you one up. That's what I asked him.
Yeah, please.
It is pretty funny to think back like, oh yeah, we talked to that guy. Anyway, dudes of the week done and dusted. Let's get into the games. We're gonna talk City, United, and then we're also going to talk Liverpool and Forest later as well. But let's dive into some of the ones we can move pretty quickly on. Brentford 2, Chelsea 2. Nicholas Jackson opened it up for Chelsea. Rolasev. Mads Rolasev. Don't know this man. Shout out to him, though. Got one back for Brentford. Jan Wissa with the lead goal in the 69th minute, and then Di Sassi in the 83rd tied it up to get a point for Chelsea. This is the throwaway game of the week. I don't know. Good point for Brentford because they need them.
They should have won.
For sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously I can't stand Chelsea. Hate them more every day. But it's this exact team that can stay compact and can, you know, have like play their system out the right way and just do what they're supposed to do. And Brentford is drilled like really well. That good finish by Jackson, obviously, like those are good goals, but Brentford is the exact type of team that Chelsea just can't manage against. And I really thought they were going to win. I thought there's no way Chelsea could win the game. So win or draw, I should have just threw some money on it, but
yeah. I mean, this is the type of result that I think back that we just drew Chelsea 1-1 recently and drives me nuts. Dylan, anything to add?
I mean, this is just Chelsea's season in a nutshell. Also, I know he had a good finish for a goal, but also Nicholas Jackson's not yeah, goal might have also forgotten. Been like one of the funnier things I've seen.
I forgot he tackled himself.
Yeah, but did you also see when he got around the goalie?
Yeah, I mean, good God. He's so bad.
Oh, man. It doesn't get any better for our buddy Hank and Everton. A 3-1 loss to West Ham. They had the lead. Beto missed the pen in the 45th, but then got a goal back in the 56th to take a 1-0 lead. Zuma answered 6 minutes later in the 62nd, and then Suchek in the 91st, and Edson Alvarez in the 95th. Honestly, a win that West Ham is building off of. They needed them. Then they just beat Brentford and then second win in a row against Everton. But the inconsistent draw, loss, no wins lately for the Toffees, not a good sign for our buddy Hank.
Do you know why they missed that penalty?
I saw that there's something controversial about it, but I don't remember. I didn't get to like actually see why.
Oh, I was going to say because that was their first penalty of the whole entire Premier League season. Which is also a wild stat to me. So they basically haven't actually had a chance. And I think at this point, you're just rusty. I also think technically they thought that, what's it called? That West Ham came off the line. But I don't think it actually
came That is an insane stat. We're, what, 28 games in? 27 games in to have your first pen?
They haven't won in 2024, which has now officially led to... I have the visual. Hank has officially bought his candle. So that should hopefully bring Everton to life to end the year.
Way to end, like, hot streak it out there. Crunch time. Crunch time candle for Hank.
This person has made so much money off of us.
It's like, I keep selling them to the tri-state area. I don't understand. Michael, any thoughts? West Ham, Everton?
More West Ham. Like, it seems like every time there is something that comes out, like the fans want Moyes out and there's like a big like news coverage about it or something like that, they seem to just like get a few results. And I'm sure, you know, I'm obviously sure, like I went on the whole spiel last week about like you should really enjoy watching your team play. And if you don't, that kind of sucks, even if you are being successful. But I think it's just going to fester until the end of the year. They're going to keep going like this. And then, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's undoubtedly he is like one of, if not their most successful manager. So,
if they run him out of town, West Ham is about to become Texas, in my opinion.
Like UT? Texas?
Yes. Like in terms of the fact of you have this great coach that's going to win. Oh, fine. Let's say Nebraska. Nebraska's a better example. You have Nebraska and you have this coach that consistently wins you 9 to 10 games a year. You make every once in a while you get into one of those bowl games, i.e. Europe or something like that, which they've gone to the past 3 years, and for some reason you think you deserve more when you don't realize what you had and where you came from, and then all of a sudden if you run them out of town, it's going to be 5 years from now when you realize they're probably still in the Premier League, but you're going to be back in like 13, 14, 15 place, and you'll be like, oh, why did we get rid of that guy?
Yeah.
I think in hindsight, that's what's going to end up happening.
I like the storyline. I think if we had more time to pick the right team, I feel like West Ham would kill for the pass that UT has, for sure.
That's why I changed. Well, but Nebraska, I guess, kind of has that.
Nebraska,
too.
But
it's the same kind of concept. You get what I'm saying?
For sure. I totally understand. I think that's actually kind of a good call. Like, Moise, Michael, I just said, like, only European title they've had in the modern European setup, for sure. I feel like they may have had something way back when, but to win a European title is a big deal, even if it is the Conference League. They got Freiburg midweek. I think if they do make a little bit of a run in that Europa League, he'll be back in the good graces. But tying some wins together will be key for sure. It is interesting that they're just bored. They're bored of how he plays. They're bored of what the team looks like. And if we're looking in Prem, they got Burnley next. Villa will be tough. Newcastle will be tough. Tottenham will be tough. Then Wolves. Then Fulham. So it's not an easy run in for the rest of the year. So we'll have to see. But Dylan, I agree. You know, Moisey, I feel like everyone's afraid or what is the saying that I've been saying about my old job is like, you don't really know what you have till it's gone type of thing. And there it is.
Grass isn't greener.
Yep. Grass is not greener. Tell you whose grass has been pretty green lately. Terrible transition, but we're going to run with it anyway. Fulham. 3-0 win over Brighton. Harry Wilson in the 21st. Rodrigo Munez in the 32nd. And a Adama Traore sighting in the 91st. Assist by Bobby De Cordova Reed. Always love saying that. Guys, what the fuck is up with Brighton?
They can't score now.
Yeah.
2 games, no goals. They give up too many shots, too many attempts. And Fulham are, I don't know what the comparison would be. They're not, like, on paper, you're like, this shouldn't work. Mm-hmm. These players, I mean, they're professionals and all that, but, like, they don't, like, you know, get you excited or anything. Like, mm-hmm. they just get it done.
Dama gets it going. Really,
yeah, I guess. He runs fast. He's like, he's like Mudrick a little bit, but a little bit better.
Depends how much baby oil he has on. Yeah, I agree. It's a weird team, but I'll say this then, like, Marco Silva, should we be circling him as, hey, someone needs to come in and swoop this guy? Because the talent on this Fulham team, I think even in 12th right now, it's been outperforming what we thought was going to happen with them for sure.
Isn't this a little bit like Emery? Because, like, at Arsenal, obviously got ran out of town, whatever. Like, I don't know for sure, but I would think that Everton is a bigger club theoretically than Fulham.
Yeah.
And he didn't do fantastic there. I feel like sure. If you're being successful where you are, you might as well just stick it out. Unless you're getting a job where you're like, you know, you're going to, you know, basically be able to do whatever you want.
Yeah. I'm not talking about it from Silva's point of view. I'm talking about from, like, if I'm X team looking for a coach, I think you maybe have the conversation with him. I'll say this, like, there's coastal clubs in Spain that have a lot nicer day-to-day life than, you know, being in West London, I feel like.
Bro, speak for yourself.
I'm just saying.
I love the rain.
True. But, I don't know, be interesting. I feel like he's done a pretty good job this year.
Yeah. I mean, they found Rodrigo Muniz is, like, the whole reason I think is kickstarting this. Like, the fact that he's actually developed for them is what's mm-hmm. kicking it off. And, like, you'll see a theme as we talk about Fulham landing this week, but they're a great team. You know, I think they play very well. They're pretty awesome. And I think just
excited to go out there and compete with them.
Yeah, nothing I think they're a fun team them. To watch. So it's pretty cool to, you know, get to see them in person. That's all.
Love it.
And I think you guys said this, other than Brighton basically completely, like, shitting the bed all of a sudden, which probably just goes into the fact that they're like every other mid-table team that makes it into Europe, is you don't have a large enough squad and eventually just runs up by the end of the year, especially with the injuries that they added to it. But I think Michael said this before, but Enciso's sick. I actually like him a lot. Or did you say someone else? There's someone a couple weeks ago you said you liked him, Brighton. It might not be him, but if you watch him, he's a little fire. Like, he's got some firecracker to him, to where he's someone. I think Chelsea's going to pay 90 million for him in about 2 weeks.
Oh, who did you? I said Adingra.
Oh, well, watching Ciso, he's going to end up being sick. Yeah.
I think he just came back from injury.
He did.
But yeah, he's been hurt for basically the entire year.
Yeah. Brighton has individuals. And this is the other thing, too, is I'm looking at their fixture list. They got Roma midweek. And I think, you know, if I'm a Brighton player, am I pumped to play Fulham at the end of the year or towards the end of the year now? We're in ninth. We know that we're probably not going to get into Europe, but we're not going to get relegated. But I still have the chance to go play Roma. I mean, it has "look past Fulham" written all over it.
I think if you're De Zerbe, it's just not a good look for future endeavors.
For sure. Until he beats Fulham in a two-legged setup, and then they go to the Conference League.
You mean Roma.
Semifinals. Huh?
You mean Roma.
Yeah, what did I say, Fulham? Shit.
Fulham.
To beat Roma. I don't know. We'll have to see. These teams, it's funny. The more games we watch of them or the more games we have to talk about them, the less I know. I feel like I know about them anymore. We're kind of in that weird period. Speaking of, a team that I just came out and said, you don't bet on them unless they're coming off of an international break. Newcastle 3-0 over Dillon's Wolves. Isak in the 14th, Anthony Gordon in the 33rd, and Tino Livramento in the 92nd. Honestly, Wolves, you guys have been playing really well lately. Three straight wins before this one. It happens. Blip.
Three games in six, and our whole front line's injured. So, listen, I'm not making excuses. I'm stating a fact. I actually, it's more my expectations, like I said, I'm not dreaming about Europe anymore. I'm at the point of we're going to finish between 10th and 13th, and we're just going to go win the FA Cup to make Europe. That's all. So, ultimately, I look at it this way. If I was going to go, if I'm going to a game, I'm happy the egg happened right before I showed up, is how I'm viewing it. And Newcastle, honestly, this is probably the first time I think they actually have most of their injured players actually back. And to your point, in their version of this, they're coming off of a bye week, not having to play midweek. So, like, I didn't think we'd lose 3-0, but I think a letdown was inevitable at this point. Like, they're looking forward to the Dylan Tucker game, so I get it. Trap game.
I think it happens. I mean, we talk. The one thing that I will say is the good teams, or the teams that overperform or over-index for us, are all consistent. And, like, every team is inconsistent to an extent. And you guys are just figuring out that consistency. Michael, you're the... I feel like you're the Newcastle whisperer here. Like, what are your thoughts with them finally getting healthy, finally having some people back? Only in, I think, two more competitions, right?
Yeah, they got the FA Cup and then this. I think, I mean, their back line has been, like, horrible the past couple weeks, and I think it's, like, uncharacteristically bad. So, you know, I think probably an emphasis was, let's not give up a goal. Like, let's, or maybe if we are going to give up a goal, just one. They got Isak back. You know, Guimaraes obviously is very good. Like, Longstaff and Willock are good platoon kind of players. Gordon has had, like, a great year. So I think, yeah, they got some guys back. I do think they lost Trippier for a while now. That's why Livramento came in. Yeah, I think, and again, they're at home. So I think they can win pretty much any game at home. And I, what was it, like a couple weeks ago, they, you guys played them and they went up 1-0 on you. So, you know, you get, that's the thing, like, yeah, they have some really bad losses this year, and in terms of, like, where they were at the end of last year, this is a step back for sure, but, like, they were way past where you'd expect them to be last year. So I think this is just kind of, they're settling into, like, how they're gonna compete, and they're trying to find that consistency, like you said.
Yeah. Last point, Dylan, you mentioned it, FA Cup. You got Coventry City playing Wolves, and you got Leicester City playing Chelsea. Is there going to be a non-Premier League team in the semifinals?
Yes. Between Leicester, us and Chelsea, one of us is going to fuck it up. If I'm being honest.
It's just, it's one leg, right?
No, it's two.
Two.
I think it's, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, sorry. You're right. Yeah. It's one with the, they do extra time now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Leicester did just lose at home to QPR.
Valid. Valid point.
So, and I don't think you're going to lose to Coventry. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say there won't be a non-Premier League team.
It depends. Like, put all your good juju into Neto being okay, because I've yet to see an actual report on what happened and why he got subbed off, because if that man's out with Huang out for 6 weeks and Cunha's not back, I don't know how we score.
I forgot about Cunha already.
Yeah.
I literally forgot he existed.
Yeah, you guys are getting the, like you said, full front line. It's an injury bug right now that is hitting you kind of at a terrible time, because you're just becoming consistent and making a run. 3-1, Tottenham over Palace. Eberici Eze, jeez, talk, John. First goal in the 59th minute gave Palace a shock lead. Even more shocking, Timo Werner in the 77th minute ties it up. Christian Romero in the 80th minute gives Tottenham the lead. And Sonny gets the third goal to put it away for Tottenham. A new manager bounce happened for Palace, and then they bounced right back. And also, talk about bouncing, Tottenham bounced back after the loss to Wolves in the league. Michael, any thoughts?
You could have skipped the whole first half of this game. It was nothing going on at all. I mean, Eze obviously is, like, incredible. He can score, like, at any point. They're just... I similar with the Moyes thing, I do get that fan base is, like, disdain and, like, annoyance because, like, they do have some guys on that team, and they're probably trying to figure it out right now. At Spurs, Spurs is, like, a very good team. They're, like, a basketball team, essentially, very streaky. Mm-hmm. So when I saw them up 1-0, I was kind of like, you know, caught Spurs at a good time. But then obviously, like, what, 3 goals in 11 minutes. I don't think Werner's actually that bad, to be honest. Like, I think he can do a job. I don't think he's a starter on, like, a top team. But I think he can do a job. Like, the miss he had was pretty funny, too. Like, it was Nicholas Jackson-esque. But, yeah, I think that team... Their vibes. Like, if their vibe is good, they're gonna run at you, they're gonna play, they're gonna do their thing. And it just took them 77 minutes to catch a vibe, I guess.
I totally agree. I feel like they do a really, really great, and I'm talking about Palace here, they do a really, really great job of getting talent and somewhat retaining it for longer than you think they're going to, but doing nothing with it. Like, the fact that they had Zaha for as long as they did, the fact that they have Eze and Elise, and they've been injured a bit this year, it was a really interesting conversation to talk to the guy from the Palace podcast this summer, and like they finally, I think, just hit the fever pitch of, like, we got to get rid of this guy, Roy. We love Roy, but we got to get rid of him. It's just not working out anymore. And it's interesting because I don't know much about this new guy at all, to be totally honest with you.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Dylan, you want to take us home on this?
New manager bump doesn't exist anymore after your first game, so sorry, Palace. And I think, I guess it's good. I'm excited that, like, we have two different races for basically that 5-4 spot and then your guys' title race, so I'm happy that Tottenham won to at least keep up with that. And it just, I think, is what we've seen all year. They struggle with teams that make them control the ball, similar to some other teams that love to counter, at least with what they have right now. And Palace got too stretched for 8 minutes, and they fucked up.
Yeah.
Also want to just say, with the collecting data on the new manager bump, it helps when your new manager bump is against Burnley.
People don't remember that. They just remember new manager bump.
they won 3-0, so that it's convincing. So, you know, maybe that's part of it.
Started his tenure with a win. That's all they're going to see. Go. Started his tenure with a win. Villa. This was an interesting game. Aston Villa 3, Luton Town 2. Ollie Watkins in the 24th and 38th minute give Villa a 2-0 lead. Chong and Morris tie it up for Luton Town. And Digne had to get the game winner for Villa in the 89th minute to give them all 3 points. They continue to win. Luton Town continues to be the scrappiest team in the Premier League, and a team that, like, it's playing with house money for them every week. They're not supposed to win, but they get weird results, weird bumps, weird bounces of the ball, score goals here and there. Even in the game against City in the FA Cup, their 2 goals were sick. Like, they're figuring it out. So if they have find a way to stay up, I think it would be a huge accomplishment. Villa continue to roll, though. Michael, we were talking about this. I think Ollie Watkins may take the title from Ivan Toney as, like, the most underrated striker in the Premier League.
It's like a well, I don't think Toney's underrated.
But when he, that year he burst on with Brentford. It's kind of the same feeling.
Yeah. I think he's already overpassed him, no?
Watkins?
I think what?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think, in my opinion. I think I'd have to sit down and look at the list, but Ollie Watkins might be a top five striker in the Premier League.
Well, yeah, because he has the goals and he also has the assists. Like, he's added 10 assists on top of it.
Watkins is, like, way more complete of a player, in my opinion, than Tony is. Tony is, like, I think a way better finisher, and, like, he will sit in the box and he will get goals. Like, that's why when you have all those creative players around him, like, if you would at Arsenal, I think he's perfect for like, Arsenal, right? But I think you could put, like, Ollie Watkins in pretty much any team in the Prem, and he would, you know, he's not as obviously as good as Haaland, but, like, he would put up numbers in City. Like, he's that good of a player. He could get you 20 goals and, like, 10 assists on the year.
He's 44% of Villa's offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's outrageous. That team is, you know, they have some, like, obviously we've talked about it, like, Douglas Luiz is obviously unbelievable. Like, Tielemans, we were talking about how good he was. He can't even, like, consistently get in that team. But yeah, Ollie Watkins is just crazy good, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Tielemans, too, has been playing a lot more consistently. But the midfield for them has been such an interesting difference maker with Douglas Luiz and then McGinn. Like, McGinn, you can't take him off the field. Like, he's your captain, but he's also, like, the motor.
And I think they somewhere when they were, like, on that crazy run and they started to kind of, like, drop some points, they moved Diaby out and put Tielemans in, I think, more for stability. Because, like, Diaby's unbelievable, too, and he's kind of been falling on the wayside a little bit. But, yeah, like, I mean, Leon Bailey's having a great year. McGinn, like you said, is just absolutely unbelievable. But I think at the heart of it is Ollie Watkins always. Like, he is just, if he's not scoring, he's pressing, he's, you know, holding the ball up so other people can get involved. I think he's just, like, all around, like, one of the best strikers in the Prem. I think he might be, like, one of the best players overall in the Prem.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
And I fucking hate, sorry, last thing, I fucking cannot stand when, same thing with, like, Solanke or whoever, when you mention a team that is, like, yes, Aston Villa are below Arsenal, yes, Bournemouth are below all these other teams, all these people want to go get a player from Napoli, like Osimhen, or, you know, Italy or France or whatever, and you ever do, like, the exercise where if you put that team in the Prem, where do you think they'd finish? Do you think they'd be as good as Aston Villa? Just because he's in the same league as you and the team's worse, you think he's, like, not that good? Like, he would be in any team in this league. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
I agree. So you put someone who's really good around better talent, they're probably
It's a stupid-ass thing. They're like, I want Victor Osimhen. Like, you want to spend $150 million? Okay, go ahead.
And it's also going to take them probably 6 months to adapt to what the Premier League is and then go from there.
Michael is like, man, I can't let Arsenal just shine totally with the 6-0 win. I got to go after their fans a little bit.
It was because they were going after you for Solanke.
Yeah.
But it is like a thing where would you take Ollie Watkins at Manchester City? Don't you think we can get somebody better? It's like, motherfucker, he's really good. What are you talking about? Like,
and cheaper.
What do you want?
FFP.
Yes, Come on, sure.
Last point is, like, Luton Town is the definition of going down fighting. That's all I'll say.
I love Luton.
Yeah. They got a place in all of our hearts now. Bournemouth 2, Burnley 0, Clivert in the 13th, Semenyo in the 88th. Good win for Bournemouth. That's the team they got to beat. Burnley's not very good. And Burnley, we say this every week. We bring it up. I bring it up every week because I'm driving this damn thing. Vincent Kompany's going to be coaching next year. It has to be, like, right?
100% at this point. He's here for 2 more years unless they don't make it up next year. Back up.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to Vincent Kompany getting relegated, keeping his job. We love to see it. Retention, no layoffs at Burnley. And then last point here before we get into the two main games. It's 6-0 currently. Arsenal
just
over Sheffield.
Just ended.
6-0. Yep. Arsenal beat Sheffield. Great timing. Odegaard in the 5th, Boggle own goal in the 13th, which is a great own goal name. Martinelli in the 15th, Havertz in the 25th, Declan Rice in the 39th, Ben White, how you doing? 58th minute. Goal differential Arsenal, that's all I'll say. They're going to be plus 100 by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So.
They're rolling.
Do you guys think they're going to win it? Dylan, you're the odd man out. No? Yeah?
Well,
no.
I mean, you know, I don't know, I thought that was to Michael since you know what my answer is.
Michael said his quickly.
I said no.
Yeah.
I think they do. I think lessons have been learned from last year. I think you guys are both going to attack me right now, and I'm so excited for this. They are putting up numbers against teams they should be putting up numbers against, and we'll see what happens in their next little run in 2 weeks against City and whatnot, but like, they're pummeling teams they're supposed to, while I'm watching both of your teams struggle, even though I know they're going to win, but eking out 1 or 2-0 type of wins type of thing, which is the epitome of what you guys were so mad about Arsenal doing last year, and it caught up with them. So in that case, I think that they have a very good shot of winning the league.
Fair enough. I think that's following the numbers, following the money. I think that's exactly like a fair point. I'm big eye test guy. I just still think they're not as good.
I think they have by far the hardest. They have to play they have to play City. They have to go to Wolves. They have to go to Spurs. They have to go to Brighton. They have Aston Villa still. They have to play Chelsea again, which they don't do very well. They have to go to United. They have some tough games. Again, to your point, they should thrash Sheffield United. They should thrash. Like, West Ham is, that 6-0 against West Ham is, like, a very, very good result because it's away from home as well. But at the same time, like, they I know it's not the same competition, but there's a way to beat them, and Porto did it.
I agree with that, and that's where I'd rather, like, I'm very curious to see when they play City in 2 weeks if the same tactics are there. I also didn't watch the Porto game, but, like, part of me also feels like that was something where they were away. And they stupidly went in with, let's just get a tie, and they didn't actually play, which is, I think, is really dumb in that type of competition. But I agree. I think there's a blueprint that was made for teams that can play like Porto, i.e. both of you guys, like, can do something like that and shut them down potentially.
I think 11 versus 11, like the starting 11 of each team, I think they're probably the most, like, they have the best players in
position
across the board.
You think so?
Across the board. Yeah. I think their two defenders are first or second in the league. I think Saka is you know, top three winger. I think Martinelli is catching fire right now. I think Rice is probably the most important position on the field. He's the second best DM. I think they have firepower, obviously, right now. And again, I know we criticize them about open play goals and stuff like that, but like, when you're putting up 5 or 6, it doesn't matter if they're all set pieces. If you're putting up 5 or 6, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So they're scoring a ton of goals. The defense, they were giving up the fewest amount of opportunities for the opposing team. I think we, both of our teams, have like very obvious like frailties.
Mm-hmm.
That can be exploited, and I think it just depends on if Arsenal show up and like aren't there all the way. And if they're not there, they're going to get beat. But like, if they're there the whole time, I think they're a very, very hard team to beat.
Yeah. I think it's when you see, like, to Americanize it, teams that get battered on their way to winning a championship because they aren't ready to actually handle it when they're in the playoffs and like go out in these conference finals or whatever it is. Type of thing. I feel like that's what last year was compared to, I'm looking at the stat right now. They've outscored people 31-3 in the 7 games in 2024. Again, caliber competition. I get it in the Premier League, but like, I think they're locked in my opinion.
Yeah. We'll have to see. It'll be an interesting run up. Speaking of the team that retained top position, Liverpool 1, Nottingham Forest 0. Darwin Nunez in 90+9 with the winner, assist by McAllister. Michael, give us your thoughts.
The first, it was the first game of this stretch that we, it's so obvious that we, like, cannot continue with, like, these players. Like, this consists, like, these guys. Like, we need some senior guys in there. Like, Bobby Clark, God bless him. He can't play every single week. It's just not going to happen. Luis Diaz is driving me nuts. He's making a lot of chances, and he's creating a lot, but it's just like, you know, remember when Mane, he would like get in front of the goal and then all of a sudden the ball is like a throw in. That's how I feel a little bit with him right now. And like, he does great stuff. Like, I don't want to bash him too much. Gakpo is, I'm struggling to see where he consistently fits. I think Harvey Elliott's great in the midfield. I don't think he's a winger. The best thing that's been going on is our defense has been like really, really good. Kelleher's been unbelievable filling in. I think he's faced like 6 XG in the last 3 games, and he hasn't given up a goal. But this is, you know, it's one of those things where when we talked about Arsenal, where you can see that it's not sustainable like this. And you needed literally like a flick-on header to win the game against Nottingham Forest. I never thought we were going to win that game. I'm not never, but like in the crunch time, I was sitting there going, I don't even see where our chances are coming from. My stream was like so far behind, I actually got the notification on my phone and I thought it was a lie. I was like, there's no way. There's just no way we scored a goal. Like, I can't possibly see it. But yeah, I mean, thank God, because now we can still draw this game coming up if we had to, and still keep some distance. But it was not, it's not looking good right now going forward, because I think Trent's out for like another month. Allison's out maybe longer. We need to get some guys back for sure.
It looks like, and Dylan, before I let you go, I had the injuries up here, so it looks like you're probably going to get Salah back for our game. Hopefully. And to be honest, maybe Curtis Jones, and that's it.
I think Szoboszlai's closer than Curtis Jones is.
Is he?
I thought Szoboszlai was going to come back for this game.
He played at the end of this game. Yeah. My bad.
You're good.
So you're thinking, and like, I think Endo came in this game too, so you're hoping, yeah, you got like him, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Diaz, Nunez, Salah, and then, I mean, Connor Bradley's been a good right back, especially defensively. He does some stuff. Robertson hopefully is back, and then Kelleher. I can't, you know, he's not Allison, but I can't complain about him. So,
yeah. I don't know. This is a tough run in injury wise. Dylan, any thoughts on the league leaders currently?
I was gonna ask about the injuries just to help my own predictions for later on. But outside of that, like, I guess you could give yourself the benefit of the doubt and try and tell yourself it was a trap game, looking ahead type of thing. I don't think you believe that, but
I don't think I do either.
We can put that into the universe. Outside of that, like, I don't know. I think you need to send your boy some roses. Make up and be friends.
Who?
Paul Tierney.
Okay. I'll make sure.
All right. Liverpool continue winning. City, Manchester United, the Manchester Derby. Two of the better goals this entire weekend in this game. The first one was a Marcus Rashford rocket in the 8th minute, and was honestly all of the offense that Man United could muster in this game, for the most part. But gave him a 1-0 lead after 8. Foden ties it up in the 56th with a top bin shot of his own. Gets a go-ahead goal in the 80th. And then Haaland finished it off 90+1. I will fully admit my faults. And I think I'm the one person on this pod that sticks their foot in their mouth most often. But it kind of works out for me because my team usually wins. I called Michael 3.5 minutes into this game. We ended up basically talking for the entire game on FaceTime. And I said, dude, if we start this game, if we start every game like we start this one, we'll never lose. 5 minutes later, Marcus Rashford scored a goal. So we didn't lose, which is a good sign. But I actually felt like the front line for City was cohesive and worked together in a press very well for the first time in a long time. But to the point of like 37 goals to 3 that Arsenal has, what type of competition is that against? I feel like we are pressing 4 corpses in the back and 1 over the hill defensive mid and another one that's 18. So I can't like applaud us too much. Like that's the reality of it. And the thing is I'll say that to Nick's face because Nick probably agrees with me, so it doesn't even matter. But 3-1 win, we had to win the game. We were so much better than them. There are people on this club, this Man United club, that 10 years ago you'd have never imagined would have worn a jersey, is what I'll say. This Amrabat signing might be the worst signing of all time.
I wanna defend him a little bit because when he came on, Casemiro has the fucking nerve to chip him a ball up in between 4 Man City players to possess, and there's nowhere to pass it. Like, that's the thing. He couldn't be in a less fluid system to like know where his passes are and know where his outs are. So people are like, oh my god, he lost the ball and Holland scored. And I'm like, yeah, but fucking they literally, he had to wait for the ball to come down, and in that time, like 4 guys were on him.
And you know Casemiro's the type that made that pass, and when it got intercepted, went like this.
Like, what are you doing?
That's the guy.
What are you doing? Yeah, just fuck him. Let me before Dylan goes, let me just say, this is, I think we were talking, we were talking on the phone, and you said, I was saying that you guys just don't, sometimes you just don't look like you, if the game was like passing around the opponent's box, you guys would be undefeated. And it just sometimes doesn't seem like you know what you're doing, like once you get there. And you said something about needing a 99th minute winner against Nottingham Forest. And I'm like, Nottingham Forest beat Man United. So be careful. Law of transitive, you know, property. They're a better team. That being said, yeah, like this game, I mean, it could have been 7-1.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. This team is just so bad. I just don't know what they do.
They have to get really, really close with Saudi Arabia. I think you gotta make some calls and say, hey, remember Casemiro? Remember those great Real Madrid teams? He was a key. You should pay 40 mil for him. Varane too. Like that's what they need to do. That's their only option at the current moment. So I don't know, Dylan. You wanna pick anything up for Nick?
I mean, Ten Hag put Bruno in a false 9 in the first half. That was pretty cool. trying something different, like trying to get a little creative with what he's got. Other than that, I think they went in with the same game plan of what they went into when they went to Anfield, and we're just hoping to completely take the energy out of the game and just hope for a tie. And
yeah,
I think that got a little flipped in terms of Rashford hitting like a pisser that probably wasn't into the game plan in that sense. But like, even when that happened, I will give you like City credit of like, not that when this happens you guys don't normally feel like you're in control, but I don't think there was like a worry, whereas like, especially for how Foden's playing right now, it was like, yeah, we're just gonna break them down anyway and eventually like get this win type of thing. Like, I don't know, there's not much else to comment on it. Like, United's in shambles in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Even though I have some people I know who try and tell me that United's having a good year and it's not Nick. And I'm just like, you guys are insane. So what you're talking about. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Michael, congrats, go ahead. You didn't blow it.
I was just exactly. Going to say, that's where like you can look at like a record or like, I don't know what people would be looking at.
It's the fact that they haven't like lost until literally this game, technically, I think, in the calendar year.
No, they just lost to Fulham.
Before the Fulham game, though, they hadn't lost. And that's where it's like, oh, they're in good form. And it's like, yeah, but have you watched the games? Okay. Like, they really haven't.
That's
been
what I'm typing. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have to just be completely ignoring your eyes if you are saying that they're, like, a good team. Like, they're performing well. Because, like, you can look like shit and get a result. Like, that is, you know, people are like, that's what you have to do. And sometimes, you are going to look bad. But, like, they look consistent. Even the games where you're like, wow, they won 2-0. Do you remember that Everton game at Everton where they, you know, Garnacho had that crazy goal? I think that was right. The same.
Yeah. But that took, like, the energy right out of it, which killed Everton, or else that game is completely different.
But and even the Luton game that they won, I mean, Luton had like 20 shots. Like, Luton Town had 20 shots on Man United. Like, I don't know how you can sit there. You can sit there and you can say, like, yeah, we are the most informed team and, like, whatever. But, like, God, you have to not watch the games. You have to just look at the results in that case.
I also, the last point I wanted to make is, you know, we like when a manager has his players' backs and is, like, really, I don't know, like, I feel like there's certain dick managers that I've come to understand. I'm like, I don't like this guy. Like, he throws the players under the bus, whatever. There's also the level of patronization that goes into Ten Hag, how he describes how well they played, that if I'm his player, I want to look at him and be like Michael just said, are you ignoring your eyes? Like, what are we talking about here, man? Like, it's bad. Like,
him saying they could have won the game is insane.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, technically, yes, you could win any game. But, like, you can't have that performance and then be like, we were almost there.
I think at this point, I think it's something of, I don't know if he believes it, but I think he has to say it publicly because there's also technically your new ownership to an extent. So he has to say positive things to try and keep his job, as opposed to right now being like, yep, we're absolute shit. Because when you get a new boss, you're like, this is all shit, and you're the reason kind of why it's shit. They're going to be like, well, then why should I keep you? So I think that's why you're going to hear publicly him going the pot route too, of like, oh no, we did a lot of good things right though, all this type of stuff.
Yeah, I think you can say, like, we did some good things right and there were some positives. I think you can always say that, okay? Because I think your whole team could play horrible and, like, Kobbie Mainoo could, like, have had a good game and you could be like, there are positives. Like, Kobbie Mainoo is, like, you know, looking to be a really good player, really young, whatever. I don't... It's the jump to, like, you know, if we got an obvious foul on Marcus Rashford, which wasn't obvious, by the way, and if we, you know, bunkered down for our lives and like didn't give up 3 goals, we would have won that game. Like, yeah, no shit. But, like, everyone watched that game. Like, everybody was watching. Like, our dad, who doesn't watch soccer, like, ever, was sitting there, they were down 1-0, going like, I mean, it's a matter of time. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, it's absolutely a matter of time. Like, they're gonna score 3 goals. Like, I don't know why John's freaking out.
Yeah, you gotta keep it interesting for yourself. Big win. Manchester's still blue. And shout out to Nick. You know, I know scheduling's tough, but he likes to call me out about not showing up after his team lost. So.
we did schedule this when we knew he was working.
Yeah, tomato, tomato, whatever. Yeah. All right. Dylan, you have one last point? No? The week recap done and dusted. 2 more things to get into. One, I want to flip the script here. We normally go into our predictions first. Now you can't even see me. Normally go into our predictions first, but let's do the pod lay. Michael, you got a leg?
Oh shit!
I'll filibuster and then kick it to Dylan for the first 2 legs, and then you can get the 3rd one. Dylan, you're the first member of the podcast to actually go to the homecoming home ground to go see a match. In the middle of the season, my pod lay leg is Wolves money line.
Don't, please don't.
Why? Imagine bad it juju. Hits.
Just let me enjoy watching my team without having to worry about, are we going to make. Also, I have a lot of bets for you guys based off of this game that I'm going to give you, but just for a pod lay, can we please not do that?
Imagine it hits.
Imagine we get shut out. And I flew all the way there just for that shit.
All right. So you do the first leg. I'll get the second one.
I'll go on the safer side just because it's the pod lay. I just have a good feeling about this. I'm going to take double chance Nottingham Forest +110.
I like that one. Oh man, there's, I think there's one safe bet on here, and it's gonna shock people except me and Michael. I think plus 275 City Liverpool draw is kind of safe money, to be totally honest with you, just because I feel like that's how it always happens at Anfield. But I want to do a straightforward one here. I like what is going on at Villa a little bit more than what I like what is going on at Tottenham. I think at some point Tottenham can surpass them, but I got Villa money line. You got one, Michael?
Yes. What do you guys like more? Do you like draw no bet or double chance?
Double chance.
Okay. So I can't believe, or actually I can't absolutely believe based on what we were just talking about.
I know where this is going.
I have Everton or tie minus 110.
Oh.
Or you can take Everton draw no bet plus 190.
Take the tie because it's at United. Do the double.
Here's the thing. Man United do not tie very often.
Can I give you a better scenario? At that point,
you might as well just take Everton to win then.
can I give you a better scenario? Like, I was really enticed by Luton Town at Palace.
I don't hate that either.
I would love, I think, a draw there.
That's what I'm saying. Double, yeah. Is that?
That's like plus 275.
Yeah.
280.
I think that's, all right, let's that's do that. Sneaky. Let's do that. That's sneaky money.
Holy fuck.
Go over them again. Dylan, what'd you have?
Nottingham Forest to either win or tie, plus 110.
All right. I had Villa, moneyline win. Michael, you had Luton to either win or tie?
No, I just have a draw.
All right, just straight up draw. All right.
I think a draw.
One day we'll get good at this. Podlay. In. We got it done. Dylan, what bets you got going on? Then we'll jump into our predictions.
Based off of what I just told you not to do, you should see exactly where this is going. I'm going to make financial gains off of this game if I go to see everything that I do not want to see.
Okay, yeah.
Correct score, plus 1,000. Wolves Fulham, 0-0. If I go all the way there, I bet your ass I'm making money if I'm going to go watch a scoreless game having flown out there. Fulham, clean sheet. Yes, plus 270. Reverse jinx a goal. And then this one isn't on there yet, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to actually... Michael, I might be texting you to put this in for me, and I'll Venmo you.
Okay.
Two bets. Adama to score, and Adama to score or have an assist, because that's just inevitable. I've seen this story before. He's coming off of an assist and a goal in the past two games. And then finally, also, if I'm going to a game, give me over 10.5 corners. That's just fun as hell to watch and root for while we're there.
There you go.
But I'm reverse jinxing everything to make money.
I kind of like your thought process where it's like, I know how much a ticket costs. I might as well just add on lifestyle fees.
Correct.
Yeah, that's smart.
I'm betting based off of I'm either going to be really bad and I'm going to see the best game ever.
Yep.
Or if it's a dud, hey, we just made like $300.
Yeah. You're like, how much does it actually mean to you? Or how much were you willing to pay to see a win? That's how much you end up betting, so that if it is a loss, you just make money back. I like that.
Yeah.
It's called a hedge.
I'm 100% hedging. I'm emotionally hedging this game all the way.
I love an emotional hedge. All right. Let's get into predictions. Michael, still in the lead. 154 and one. God damn, you're 40 games over 500. 154 and 114, 7-3 last week. Nick, I believe, still in second, 144 and 124. I am 142 and 126. Dylan, 500, 134, 134. He is 8-2 last week. You've actually strung together some decent results here and there. 8-2, 7-3, 4-5, which isn't bad at times. So, and then 8-2 again. So. You're getting back to 500. We love to see it. First game, United hosting Everton. Michael, you kind of gave a little prediction. What you got in this one?
I have two other draws this week. I can't, in good conscience, make it three. So I'm just going to go Everton win.
Okay. Dylan?
I didn't know what to do about this game. I don't trust either of these teams, and I feel bad for Nick, so I'm just going to take United, but I'll start the week off 0-1.
I got United as well. Bournemouth hosting Sheffield. Bournemouth beat up on Burnley this week. They got another relegation tied team. I got Bournemouth. Dylan, who you got?
Cherries.
Yeah. Michael?
Bournemouth as well.
Palace Luton. Dylan, we threw an interesting bet in there. What are you thinking here?
I think Luton actually like wins. I'm taking Luton straight up.
Straight up? Straight up tough.
This is why I'm 500. I am taking Luton out.
Michael?
I got a draw.
I got a draw as well. I think this is one of those games that it like kind of made sense. Wolves and Fulham. Dylan will be in attendance. We'll have you go last. Michael, who you got?
I got Wolves.
I got Wolves too. So Dylan, go ahead. Reverse. Yep. Fulham, reverse jinx yourself. Arsenal hosting Brentford, the Ivan Toney Bowl. I got Arsenal. Dylan, who you got?
Arsenal.
Michael?
Arsenal as well.
Aston Villa hosting Tottenham. I know that I just picked Aston Villa to win straight up. I had them draw in here. I'm going to hedge for like my social standing with the podcast. So I got a draw here. Dylan, who you got?
I honestly, I don't know. I might join you. I had Tottenham initially, but now I'm talking myself out of it. But I'll stick to my guns. We're going with Tottenham. Ange ball.
The craziest thing is this game could either be 1-0 Villa, 1-1 Villa Tottenham, or 6-1 Tottenham. Like I think those are the three options.
I think this game could be like 5-4.
Yeah. Okay. So there's fourth option.
Could also be 5-3. Could be 5-2.
All right, Michael. Who you got? Who you got in this, Michael?
I got Villa.
All right, Brighton hosting Forest. Dylan,
I said it. I feel like Forest has been actually playing like Luton-y type of style and being feisty under Nuno. So I'm going to take Forest with what I've seen with Brighton.
Michael,
I got Brighton. So if we lose our bet, at least I get this right.
True. I got Brighton as well. We know when they're going to find out if they're losing points.
I think 3 weeks or 2 weeks. For both of them, again.
I thought it was going to be even sooner. West Ham, Burnley, Michael.
I mean, I can't pick Burnley, so yeah. It has to be West Ham.
Yeah, I got West Ham too. Dylan?
Same. Yep.
Chelsea, Newcastle. I got Newcastle. As bad as they've been, and I mean, they just whacked Wolves, but as thin as they've been, as bad as they've been, I can't in good conscience pick Chelsea. Dylan, who you got?
I'm also taking Newcastle for those exact reasons. I almost had a tie, and I was like, "Ah, oh, that's no fun."
Yeah, Michael.
I did have a tie, but Dylan said it's no fun, so now I have Newcastle.
All right, and then the Whitaker brother derby. It's at Anfield. City travels there. Liverpool number one, City number two, separated by a whole point. Dylan, tell us who you got first.
I'm taking City only because, even though you've been sluggish, you've been more on the healthy side, so I'm taking health over the Anfield crowd.
Yeah. Michael?
For this reason, I wish, obviously, like, we could put, like, a full 11 out, like, the best players, because if we lost with the full 11, I would at least know that we just weren't good enough. It does kind of suck, you know, if like, Kelleher makes a mistake or Bradley is terrible, like, that'll kind of suck, but I'd have to pick Liverpool. At Anfield, yeah. We typically don't lose there, so
yeah. Gotta go for it. I think if you do want to bet this, I actually think the more likely thing to happen is a draw. But I got City. Got to back City. So big game this weekend.
If we're gonna draw this game, just please don't lose to Arsenal.
Yeah, that would again. I'm at the point where it's anybody but Arsenal for me. Sorry, Dylan.
It's fine. I'm anyone but you, so yeah. It's cool.
Hey, it's like a shaking of the hands. All right, Premier League Naps Podcast episode 205 done and dusted. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Should have said that at the top. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
All right, boys. What do you call a bunch of electric eels when they play soccer? Shocker. Cheers. Thank you.
The NAFTA Podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.